The Dome Patrol United Network presents the Dome Patrol Podcast. What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast. I am your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale ratings are zero. I'm looking at the script. Jason didn't even change to his name from last week, taking over the script. Well, it looks like we are back on track, and you all were so worried about nothing. I don't get you. I mean, James pointed out the Saints simply are not a September team, and we should be used to it by now. The slow start is a tradition. And no matter which way you slice it, the Saints are usually 2-2 or 3-1 if we're lucky after the first quarter of the season. So we're on track. Sure, this was the lowly Lions, but the Saints were able to regain some confidence and get their mojo back with this one. Players that needed to step up finally did, and we overcame a lot of adversity going into a game that would have otherwise been a cakewalk. We hope you enjoyed the instant recap show, the two-point conversion. Wait, can we call it the extra point or the two-point conversion? Is that trademarked?
Well, Ben called it the extra point.
Ben had called it extra point. The two-point conversion.
Yeah, I don't know that we can do that. We'll have to check. We'll have to think of it something else. The point, it certainly cannot be the point after, I guess. All right. Anyway, we got
the two points after.
Yeah, the 2 points after. All right, we have a little more discussion about the game coming up on this episode, plus some NFL reach around. We've got pick'ems and our early preview of the Chargers game. And then, of course, later this week, be sure to check out the BS and Beer podcast and also our newest show on the Dome Patrol United Network, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. That is all coming up this week. But first, let's put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all time, and enjoy the show. James, welcome to the show. What's your number?
As always, recently, my number is a big fat zero. No alcohol for me. It's 10:45 at night. So even if I was able to drink, I probably shouldn't, considering I've got to be up for work in a few hours. So yeah, it's a zero for me.
All right. And Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
It is a zero as of now. Yeah, we'll see as we progress.
The first totally sober Dome Patrol United podcast. All right, let's see what happens.
That can't be a good thing.
Well, we'll see. Well, let's try it out in the game recap. You guys had a good conversation yesterday with the instant reaction. So let's dig a little deeper into the numbers. Drew Brees threw the ball 25 times for a balanced attack.
What a novel idea.
42 rushes, I think, against 36 pass.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, 42.
Yeah, I think those were the numbers, yeah.
That's, I was counting in my head, but it's 42-25.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked for a couple of weeks about needing to run the ball more. And it seems this week Peyton finally took our advice. He's been listening and took the advice from us. You know, I mean, the Lions just couldn't stop the run whatsoever.
Almost out of necessity, though, he had to, right? I mean,
it helps when you're playing, like, you know, the bottom of the league against the run. You know, if you're going to start doing it, that's definitely the time to do it. And, you know, Kamara, again, looked amazing. Murray looked great.
Murray, present.
He was very present. Kind of like we talked about, until Ramchek, you know, went out, they were running the ball very effectively. Once he went out, it slowed down a bit. Plus, they knew we were going to be running to try to burn some clock, so that kind of contributed to it as well. Hopefully, I think he would have had a concussion, so hopefully he'll pass his concussion protocol and be back for the next game.
Yeah, and Dave's point on the instant reaction was maybe since they were stopping the run, we do there's the time that the little screen passes or check downs or something could have come in handy. But I mean, I kind of, in listening to him, I get his point, but I kind of disagree. Like, you run the ball, you're guaranteed. You're not trying to get the yard. You're trying to run the clock out, weed it down. Even if you got a punt, what you're doing is you're taking away the amount of time that they have to mount a full comeback, which in the end worked. They didn't have enough time.
Yeah, they didn't, but I think even James pointed out that they really started it a bit earlier than they probably should have. You know,
maybe
made
go
the
for
game
one
a little
more
bit.
touchdown.
Yeah, you know, they made the game a little bit more, a little closer than it needed to be. I mean, we were dominating the game. If you looked at the score, you wouldn't think that necessarily, but I mean, we definitely dominated the game. Well, after the first 5 minutes, we dominated the game, I should say. Yeah. you know, going down 14-0 like that was pretty rough. And, you know,
Bree silenced the doubt. Did he silence the doubters or did he put them off for a week?
I think he put them off for a week.
he threw more 15-yard plus passes than Josh Allen this week, according to a stat I saw today. So, you know.
There is that.
You know, I mean, we know that it's – now we know he can do it. The question is can his old man bones do it on a consistent basis?
well, it makes me wonder how much of the last 2 weeks were more about receivers not getting open. I mean, he – maybe a younger Breeze would have stuck it in there. I mean, we've seen him throw –
That's what she said.
We've seen him thread the needle in triple coverage, double coverage, hit the guy. But maybe at this point, he is trying to play a little bit more mistake-free because he may feel like he has to because he knows the defense can't cover for a mistake. So it's better to take the sack.
Yeah, I mean, some of those throws, I don't know. He was threading the needle on some of them. You know, it looked like, you know, just getting it right over the defender's hand. It was classic Breeze all the way. You know, just like I said, he just needs to do it consistently. I don't know if it was, like you said, I don't know if it was something that he maybe saw in the Lions defense that thought gave him more confidence that he could do it.
That it was the Lions.
Yeah. maybe now, since he's done it, he'll get out of his own head and start letting it fly.
Did it help that he didn't have a turnstile at left guard?
Bingo.
That could help as well.
You mean he had time?
Yeah, he did. He had more time. I mean, Easton had a good game. Ruiz had a good game. You know, the offensive line until Ramchek got hurt was cooking. So, yeah, is that Andres Pete contract going to come back to haunt us? Is it already?
I think it haunted us the day it was signed. Hopefully, he loses his job because of this injury. I mean, it happens to quarterbacks. It happens to running backs. It happens to players of every other position. I really do hope that they don't insist on him starting just because of his contract.
They might.
And I hope his contract doesn't have a guaranteed start.
Because, I mean, wasn't that kind of like the playoff game last year where he was kind of, you know, where his turnstile, wasn't he hurt that game and they kept putting him back in hurt? You know, I hope they kind of maybe learn a lesson and see that, hey, we can run and we can protect Drew without him being out there. So let's maybe dial him back a little bit.
Right.
But, I mean, yesterday Armstead visited the tent.
As is, of course, the tradition.
Once, didn't he, at some point during the game? Obviously, Ramchek. Yeah, Ramchek went out with his concussion. I was seeing just before we came on to record that we signed a offensive lineman from the Steelers in the offseason that was suspended for the first 4 games, James Hurst. He's now available to come onto the roster, so that could be good timing.
Okay, definitely could be good timing.
With potential injuries, with injuries on the line. So, yeah, I'd completely forgotten that we'd signed him, to be honest.
I did too.
So, Emmanuel Sanders, we've been waiting for his breakout game. He looks like he's really got a command of the offense now. There's no excuse why he shouldn't, I think, see at least 6 catches a game, especially while Michael Thomas is out.
Right.
I don't know. How much longer do we have without Thomas? I mean, is it likely that he may play next week?
I mean, I thought he was going to play this week, you know.
He was questionable up until Saturday.
You know, I was wondering why they never put him on IR since it's only 3 weeks because he's been out the past 3 games.
If with the bye coming after the Chargers game, do you sit him until after the bye and get him completely healthy?
Based on last week's performance, maybe so.
Maybe.
You know, with our new wide receiver one, Traquan Smith, and Emmanuel Sanders finally getting, you know, into a groove with Breeze in the offense. I mean, look, it took Jared Cook 6 to 8 weeks to get the offense last year, didn't it?
Yeah.
And then once he got the offense, was it an ankle injury?
I haven't heard any updates on anybody yet as far as what their status is for next week. Yeah, it's still early.
Yeah, so, I just didn't know if wasn't somebody's absence something like silly.
Like a toe.
Davenport?
Toe's not all.
Davenport had a thumb and an elbow.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I was thinking.
So I don't know. You know, we'll have to kind of check back, I guess, to see what the status is of everybody later. You know, and you start to wonder, you know, they sat all those guys this week. Do they sit them again next week, knowing, kind of like James said, that the bye is after the week after that? Might, you know, be smart to do that. Although, I mean, San Diego, look, we talk about it more in the game preview, but they're playing well.
Yeah.
They got the rookie quarterback in, and he's looking good.
Yeah. All right, so another thing to bring up is Taysom Hill. Or anyone named Hill.
Well,
Josh Hill too.
you guys know I'm a big Taysom Hill guy, but man, at this point he's a liability as far as lining up at quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, if we want to put him in as a tight end to block or to catch, or even as a fullback, you know, something like that, that's fine. But right now, he's a liability for two reasons. One, they know what he's going to do. Okay, they're not being creative at all. As soon as he comes in a game and lines up a quarterback, you know it's an RPO, and more than likely he's going to take off with it. And two, apparently he is having trouble holding on to the ball. Right. Like, I mean, he fumbled last week. He didn't even get a handle on the snap and shotgun this week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't line him up at quarterback anymore. Like, it's done.
Yeah, Nick Underhill's article this morning or this afternoon said something about that he has small hands, which is not ideal for a quarterback, is it really?
Or his wife.
Yeah. I said hand. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah, we've got to stop putting him at quarterback and running it all the time. There's got to be a little bit more.
Well, not even that. I mean, if he's on the field, they're forcing the ball to him. I mean, anytime you see number 7 line up, they are getting the ball. It only happened one time, I think, yesterday. It did not happen, and it was a touchdown. And I really think the play was designed to go to him, but he had 4 Lions on him, and Drew had to go over
maybe
that. Remember, he went over him at the goal line and went about 2 yards deeper. I think that was one of Traquan's touchdowns.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But I guarantee you that was designed to go to Hill, but the Lions saw it, and they all jumped on him, which left Traquan open. And good thing Drew finally was like, hey, maybe I don't have to give it to Taysom.
And that's the thing. I mean, use him as a decoy on passing routes if you have to or that's whatever. I mean,
the fact that everybody knows he's – and maybe that's the plan for later in the season. It's like, ha-ha, we're going to make him think every time he's in, we're going to him. And then now at the end of the season, he'll never touch
him. I just see him getting in a playoff game and then becoming the next, like, P.J. You know, Marcus Williams, you know, screwing something up. Not Marcus Williams. You know what I'm talking about.
It was
Marcus Williams. Okay, there we go.
Yeah. I know we tried to forget about that game, but yeah, it was Marcus Williams.
Please, yeah, why you got to bring that up?
I'm just saying I don't want him to become that. Like, I don't want him to put him in the game at quarterback like, you know, an NFC Championship game and he fumbles a snap. Like, learn your lesson now.
All right, another guy I want to ask about is Malcolm Jenkins. Are we being too hard on him and, like, lasering in on only the bad plays, or is he not making as many – like, is he not living up to expectation? Like, we brought him back because, like, he was great in Philadelphia, and he comes back, and I find myself, like, at the end of a play that's kind of frustrating, it always seems like Malcolm Jenkins is there. But I don't know if I'm – you know, there's an old saying, like, those inclined to get their panties in a bunch will get their panties in a bunch. So if I'm looking for reasons to be upset with Malcolm Jenkins, is it that he's actually, there's 90% of his plays he's actually doing great on, or should I be thankful that he was there because nobody else was?
Yeah. I mean, it might not be his fault, you know, just depending on the coverage or whatever. He might be covering his stuff and somebody else isn't covering theirs. You know, I'd have to look, I guess, at the specific play to see if somebody blew a coverage or not.
Yeah, because it started with the Raiders game where it looked like he took the game off. And so I don't know if I'm upset with him for taking that game off. And now I'm just looking for, you know, more of that. But he did last week kind of make up for that. Even though,
yeah, I mean, I don't think he had a bad game against Detroit. I don't remember any big plays.
I mean, everybody's gonna right. Blew. I mean, nobody's perfect. I guess I'm being too hard on him. All right.
To me, with him, is he doing what Von Bell would have done if we'd have kept Von Bell instead of signing Malcolm Jenkins? And I'm not seeing much of a drop off from what we had with Von Bell last year to what we've got with Malcolm Jenkins now. That was the replacement, wasn't it? It was the choice of those two. Yeah. It was pay Von Bell or re-sign Malcolm Jenkins. So, I mean, there was one play. I think the Danny Amendola catch on the first drive, Jenkins was in coverage on that one.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I don't think there was
anything. Maybe that's it, yeah. And then I like that CJGJ got all up in Amendola's head and drew the flag there. I like that, honestly, P-Rob. Did y'all talk about him on the instant reaction?
I think we did a little bit.
Somebody, I think it was the announcers that even said, maybe it was Vilma that said something about how P-Rob, his biggest struggle in the recent years was that he hasn't been healthy. He's been having health problems and that it's nice to see him fully healthy. And this is what you get with a healthy P-Rob. I don't remember what were his health concerns and why didn't they use that as an excuse when everybody was ready to hang him?
Well, he broke his leg just after he came to the Saints and came back to the Saints, didn't he? But yeah, I mean, I don't remember.
You know, you couldn't spell problem without P-Rob. I mean, that was all before that.
Yeah, I don't remember anything in particular.
Yeah, I don't remember anything in particular.
Right. I mean, is he just getting better finally? Like, you know, so the guy, I think Dave mentioned on the show yesterday, I mean, you can't expect every second year guy to come out and be the greatest of all time. And maybe we just put too high of expectations on players. And he's learned and he's gotten better. And hey, if he's gotten better and this is what we can expect from P-Rob, he's a great addition to the team.
Right. You know, kind of like we talked about yesterday, both on both sides of the ball, you know, since they played well, once we get back our starters, I mean, there's no excuses is basically what I'm saying. Like, if we can bring in – if we can have six players out and, you know, their backups come in and play pretty well, you know, once we get the regular guys back, you know, you can mix in those backups more and – you know, not Kent Crawley, but the other ones. And, you know, we should be hitting on all cylinders. You know, Michael Thomas comes back. I mean, if Traquan's playing like he's playing, Sanders playing like he's playing, we get Cook back. There's no reason, kind of like we talked about before the season started. Nobody should be able to stop us, except for ourselves, I guess.
Well, that was my encouragement from yesterday's game. This is the depth playing a key role in the success of the season. I mean, we were missing a lot of starters yesterday and the team stepped up. We, you know, we were hoping that we could have got that out of them the last 2 weeks, but I tell you what, if this is the backups, I can't wait to see what happens when the starters, or maybe these should be the starters. unless we're playing Tampa, then Lattimore can play.
Well, yeah, yes, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, we're coming up against Keenan Allen next weekend, aren't we? We'll talk about that. And that's the type of player that Lattimore tends to raise his game for.
Yeah.
Or Mike Evans. Just put a Mike Evans mask on him. Just do something to make Lattimore play, you know. Right. Yeah.
All right. That's all I got for game recap. Y'all got anything else? Or have we beaten this horse?
Well, the only thing I've got left to say really is I think the game really proved that Ryan Ramczyk is going to get paid soon. He's going to break all kinds of right tackle money records. He has to. Just proved how important he was.
Will he be paid by us?
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah. All right. Let's move over to the larger league, the NFL reach around.
Don't
lead story coming right into the recording of this podcast is that the Houston Texans fired Coach Bill O'Brien. Is that true? Have you seen this? Have you heard about
it
this?
It is.
This is true.
It is true.
Why?
As head coach and GM. Well, let's see. They're 0-4. They owe their first two draft picks to the Dolphins next year. And they've spent more cash on their players than any other team in the league. So,
and they let go of Hopkins.
Hopkins. They got rid of Hopkins.
And instead they took Cook.
Yeah, I mean, they took Cook. Brandon Cooks. I mean, you know, that'll get you fired.
That'll get you fired.
As a GM and the coach, he got double fired.
Right? Does that mean he gets collected to double unemployment?
Probably.
Wow. So, yeah, that happened.
No surprise. It's been coming for a while, that one.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you can't start off 0-4 and have made that many changes under your watch and have none of it pay off.
Right.
At all. And, I mean, they've got a good quarterback, you know. They just need to build around him.
Yeah. All right. And any players go off yesterday?
Yeah. Joe Mixon went off. Dalvin Cook went off.
Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham went off. Big Dig Joe got his first win as a starting quarterback. So
I was going to say, we got to check on Burrow.
To Mr. Burrow. And first rookie in NFL history to throw for 300 yards in 3 straight games.
There you go. So I think it's time to crown him. Greatest ever.
I think so. I think so. We need to trade for him next year.
I wish.
Please.
Tom Brady went off on my bench. Finally, the Tom, we had those 369 yards and 5 touchdowns yesterday. Insane. Yep.
But see, it that does give that me
to beat the Chargers. Does give... That's the one thing to beat. You know, again, we talk about the Chargers coming up. It took all that to get past them.
Yeah. And I think Mike Evans got hurt at some point in that game too.
Ooh,
but right. I mean,
but that don't. Yeah, so that's worse then. That's scary.
Well, we don't have Michael Thomas. So,
well, yeah, true.
Did you see the
Browns
beat the
Cowboys?
So I was just going to say that the play where Jarvis Landry threw a touchdown to Odell Beckham.
Oh yeah,
that was a bomb. That was a bomb. Is it 40-yard pass or something? In stride,
yeah,
yeah. But it did look like a non-quarterback. Like, you know, it looked like a throw that one of us would make. You know, he really ah.
And I believe he was left-handed. He threw it left-handed.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's why it looked weird. But who? What was the joke that somebody with like the 2 touchdown pass against like Jarvis Landry and it was another non-quarterback? Oh, come on! Damn it! I thought one of y'all would know it.
Nope, sorry, Mr. Dell.
Almost like Dallas's defense. Like it's almost like this is not the first time a non-quarterback has thrown a touchdown against Dallas's defense.
Didn't Sanu do it once? Because he's famous for this year. Oh, right. Okay. Oh no, maybe not him then.
I could be wrong. All right, but yeah.
So Odell shit on somebody else instead of somebody shitting on him.
Yeah. He should have gone and shit on the star, Deion Sanders style.
That would have been interesting. That would have been interesting.
I think the NFL might have fined him for that.
Yeah. So
the Eagles leading the NFC East with a record of 1-2-1. That deserves to be talked about. That is by far the worst division in football, isn't it, this year?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
By an absolute 1-2-1.
That's even on the ESPN radio during the game, they were talking about it. They were saying like talking about how Dallas could possibly get like the only way Dallas is gonna get into the playoffs is by playing in the NFC East. So, but even that, they're probably going to screw up, which is great. So I wanted to bring up the COVID stuff because I think by the time we had recorded and published last week, there was, you know, a lot has happened since then is really what I should say. Kansas City and New England are playing tonight. We're recording Monday. I'd rather watch that game than the Falcons game, I think. But
it'll be on CBS.
They're
both on TV over here.
That's because only one player, Cam Newton, was diagnosed, right? So my question is, Cam Newton's not playing, right?
No, he's not.
Is he out for 2 weeks because of this? Is it a 14-day?
I don't know if it's a 14-day hold or not. I think you have to have maybe so many negative tests.
Two negative tests in a row. 2 days of negative tests in a row. Yeah. So there's a chance he'll be back next week. But I think they're starting Brian Hoyer today.
I believe so, yes.
So Kansas City are probably going to win that game. Well, they'll probably go into
the I would love to know. I wish Billy Gunn was on, because I'd love to know if he would be taking the over on this game. Or what would he be betting the line on this game? I wonder what the line is.
Kansas City might hit the over by themselves.
Right. You think? Well, they're going to have to.
Yeah.
And now if Hoyer does come out looking like a star, then Bill Belichick is, in fact, the greatest coach in the history of football. Then you got the big
Saints
ones.
Had a scare.
Yep.
You know, with the COVID. You know, they had the fullback test positive on the plane flight to Detroit.
So they're testing people on the plane?
I guess, or right before they got on the plane.
It was before they got on the plane, but they got the results whilst they were on the plane.
And, you know, he was sitting.
Full stupid shit. Like, we test everybody. I don't know if you got it, but go ahead and get on the plane anyway. Yeah, if you do have it, the whole thing's infected.
And that was the problem, because he was sitting next to Kamara on the plane, and then that just started, like, you know, a whole shit storm. And then the running backs apparently
were administered the test? Was it Bill Vinovich?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the running backs were basically up all night getting tested and waiting for results to come in to find out if they could play or if the game was going to get postponed or what was going to happen. And ended up, all said and done, it ended up being a false positive. So I guess that's good. It's just a mess. You know, that's just a mess. And then the Titans and Steelers is the other big one. That one got – you know, that game got canceled or postponed, not even going to play this week.
Like TBD, right? We don't even know.
Week
seven, yeah.
Did they coincidentally both have a bye that week?
No.
The Steelers against the Ravens game has had to be moved back a week, and then the Titans have had to rearrange a game as well, I think.
Yeah, they had to move around their bye some kind of way.
Yeah.
Wow.
And good news out of Tennessee is they haven't had any positive tests, I think, at all today. So that's a step in the right direction as far as
because it finally got it contained.
Was it 18 players tested positive in total?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Players or players' personnel?
18 players and then other people as well. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, there is talk that the NFL are investigating them for not following proper protocols.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
But the punishment for that could be quite severe.
I was just reading the Raiders, 10 players on the Raiders, or 10 Raiders got fined for not wearing masks at a charity event, including Derek Carr and Darren Waller were fined for not wearing masks at a charity event.
Okay. I didn't know they could fine them for stuff like that.
I mean, I'm assuming they have certain protocols in place. I don't know if it was an NFL charity event or what the deal was, but apparently Big Brother's watching everyone, so wear your masks. You know, something we didn't talk about a couple of weeks ago, and I heard over the weekend when Sean Payton got fined, as you noticed, he's been wearing his mask, even in the press conferences, when there's no reporters in the room.
I wish the mask had a Roger Goodell clown piece.
I was going to say the same thing. Like, I really wish that he would do that, maybe in the offseason. But from what I understand, as you remember, I believe the Saints got fined $250,000 and then he got fined $100,000.
Something like that.
I heard, and I don't know if this is 100% accurate, but I heard that Gail Benson made him pay both fines.
Oh, really? She was like, I ain't paying for that.
Yeah. So, you know, as you've seen, he's wearing the mask now. So I don't know if that's 100% true, but I did hear that over the weekend.
Mama got mad. So,
apparently.
What's that, 3 or 4 days salary for him? I'm sure we can afford it.
Probably. Yeah, I got that in my pocket. You take a personal check.
So this just in.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
So Roger Goodell sent a memo to all 32 clubs Monday regarding protocol compliance, introduced new measures for increased safety, and repercussions if they're not followed. For the first time, the NFL is threatening forfeiture of games if a team cannot participate due to COVID-19 spread coming as a result of not following protocol. So there's your investigation, maybe. Like, if Tennessee is found that, like, you got it because you weren't following protocol, wow, we're not rearranging the schedule for you. You're going to lose the game.
You're just taking the L straight off.
Yep. It says protocol violations that result in virus spread requiring adjustments to the schedule or otherwise impacting other teams will result in additional financial and competitive discipline, including the adjustment or loss of draft choices or even a forfeiture of a game. I don't know how they're going to end up deciding that, but
Goodell's like, going to find a way to take a draft pick away from the Saints. I'm telling you, going to find a way.
Oh, you had a false positive. That's at least a third round. You scared us. Now, what I also do like, though, is that the Saints ran Burton and on one play. He did pick up a couple of yards. I was thinking, like, what if he lines up and he should have just, like, right before, just start coughing, you know? And, like, all of a sudden it just opens up and he runs and he just walks into the end zone because nobody wants to even come within 6 feet of him.
That's funny. I'm wondering how that works if both teams have positive tests, like if they're playing each other. Like, who
That's why it looks like they might be taking it into a situation by situation basis. So if you get COVID, but you're still able to play the game, there's no penalty. If you have to if it results in rescheduling a game, then it comes down to, like, did this happen because you were negligent? If there's negligence, then there's a penalty. And then maybe based on that, what is the penalty? Is it the game or is the forfeiture of a game the last resort? Like, he'd rather take a draft pick than he would take a game.
That might be the only way the Falcons win a game this year.
Well, maybe that's it too. Like, if it's the Falcons, he's like, well, I'm going to take your draft pick because that's a more severe punishment, because taking a game away won't matter. There's no competitive advantage to Atlanta at all in life.
Yeah, especially later in the season.
Right.
They'll find a way to come back and screw us, I'm sure.
What he'll do is he's not going to take a game from us because we won't have the problem. But there's going to be later on, we're going to need Carolina to lose. But the team Carolina's playing against is going to get penalized by them taking a loss, thereby giving Carolina a free victory and putting them ahead of us and knocking us out of the playoffs. It's going to be something like that.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
So there's that. Let's get into pick'ems.
Time to play the game.
That's right.
You don't need a player. Now you play it. Oh,
yeah. If I'm not mistaken, is this the first ever podcast that Jason's ever missed?
I think it might be.
At least paying me back for missing the last several shows. And for the listeners who were wondering where I was in Colorado. They said I was high. I was Rocky Mountain high.
On weed and gummies.
I was just going to look for more roach clips. It's legal there. I didn't break the law. So, and it should be legal everywhere.
Don't you wish everyone had some goddamn integrity? Well, soon, everyone can. Integrity weed.
Right. We're talking about pick'ems.
Yeah, pick'ems. So, I don't necessarily... Wait, did I get Ben's picks from last week? Yeah. So, in our league, Ash went 2-2. Ben went 1-3. Jason went 1-3, and this is obviously because Kansas City hasn't played yet and the Tennessee game was wink, so we're clearly only measuring people on a four game deal, but as of the recording, a 3-game deal. I went 3-1 with the possibility to go 4-1 if Kansas City does what they're supposed to do tonight. Who did I miss? Ash, Ben, James, Jason, James, I said you 2-2. Scott, you're 3-1 going into tonight's game as well. In the larger league, like I said, so last week y'all didn't get my larger league picks, but I did post it on Twitter. I added these again. It's kind of all like, it's almost like until next week, it doesn't really catch everything up because we don't know yet what this week is. So I didn't do a full larger league standings of where we stand right now. But what I can tell you is that Big Easy Gajon, Carp 2096, and Tom Ensign are all 11-8. Chris McGuire is 12-7. Trevor Bruno's 12-7. But we've got a 13-6 team, and that's JTL. And that's tied with you, Scott. 13-6, leading the league. Nope, wrong. I'm leading 14-5. There you go. So let's get into week five's slate of picks. I'm not going to be as good as Jason. He knows all these things. So if y'all want to do things, but I'll say he did pick the games. He sent them to us. The first game is Buffalo at Tennessee. So they're going to allow Tennessee to play?
Next week, possibly. I mean, as far as we know, they've had no negative tests. So they should be able to play.
So this is Buffalo at Tennessee. Buffalo coming off of a win. Is that usually what Jason says? This is his turn to shine in my time to not know what he says. All right, so what do we got? Buffalo coming off a win over the Raiders, 30-23, and Tennessee not having played. Who knows what their practice is going to look like. This game is a pick 'em. There is no spread on this one.
No.
Ash is taking Buffalo. Ben is taking Buffalo.
I'm taking Buffalo.
Same.
I make it a Buffalo whatever, because I am also riding the Bills. All right.
I think Buffalo are the only competitors to Kansas City in the AFC this year.
Is that a crazy statement you never thought you would make?
Ravens.
The Chiefs dismantled them last week.
One game. They look good this week.
Well, they dismantled them in the AFC Championship last year, too.
True.
So, I agree. Like, I think Buffalo might be the bigger threat to the Chiefs. For now, next game is Indianapolis at the Cleveland Odells. This one is where Cleveland is getting 2.5 points at home.
Give me the Browns.
The Browns have beaten the Dallas Cowboys. Is that right?
Yep.
And the Colts, what did they do?
They won one.
They beat the lowly Bears with a new quarterback, right? Or so not there was a new quarterback.
There was another stat I saw today where the Colts kicker, the guy from Georgia with the glasses, Blankenship, has scored more points in the last three games than the Colts opposition have in the entirety of that game. So he scored like 11. The Jets scored 7. He scored more than the Bears did. So give me the Colts on that one.
You're taking the Colts?
The Colts defense is unreal.
Maybe that's why they're giving Cleveland points at home. Whew. Yeah, the Colts this year, the most points they've allowed in a single game. I mean, they gave up 27 to Jacksonville, but since then it's 11 points, 7 points, 11 points. I might actually go with you on this one. I think the Colts win a defensive game. Yeah, you've convinced me. I was going with the points at home. All right, maybe Ash isn't crazy. He took Indianapolis as well.
Well, no, if y'all agree with Ash, y'all are fucked.
Ash is crazy. Let's not get silly now.
All right, next game is Carolina at Shitlanta. This is an NFC South battle that we can only hope ends in a tie or both teams getting COVID. In the meantime, Atlanta is giving Carolina 3.5 points at home. How is that possible?
Carolina's getting points?
Yeah. According to Jason, he said Carolina at Atlanta, and Atlanta's -3.5.
Give me Carolina.
Yep. Give me the Panthers.
Hang on. Let me check and make sure I got this right.
No, you did. That's what he sent.
Carolina, Atlanta, -3.5. Carolina is already going to win the game. Now they're just going to add points to it. Okay. So I can't wait to see what Billy Gunn says on Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. Free on the Dome Patrol United Network. It's my product placement. And now it's time for our Odell Beckham Shitty Games of the Week.
Here we go. Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car.
That's right. In case you're counting, we've only picked three games, and that's the next two games are shitty because Jason has selected two shitty games for this week. This is the second time this year already in just 5 weeks that we've had two shitty games of the week. The NFL is doing something right among this COVID-19. This first one is Jacksonville at Houston. Jacksonville, who's back to their Jacksonville ways, losing games against teams like the Miami Dolphins. Although Miami might not be as bad this year. Houston is in turmoil. They just fired Bill O'Brien. This one is in Houston, and Jacksonville is getting 6.5 points. Maybe this is because Jason did the picks before he knew that Bill O'Brien, or before anybody knew that Bill O'Brien was fired.
You know, at first I was going to take the Texans because usually teams, when they fire their coach the next week, they play like amazing because they want to play. They would come together kind of as a team.
Yeah.
And want to play well for their new, but 6.5 is just too many fucking points, man. Give me Jacksonville.
Okay. Ash took Houston. Ben took Jacksonville.
Oh, this is a tough one. Yeah, I'm going to take the Jags too.
All right. So Jacksonville is 1-3 right now. They've only scored 95 total points. This is a divisional game. Houston is 0-4, and they've only scored 80 points. Both teams let up about the same, 117, 126, so therefore I will take the points and Jacksonville. So we're all taking Jacksonville, right?
Except for Ash, I think.
Except for Ash, who probably didn't pay attention to that kind of stuff, and it's naturally, instinctively would take Houston.
Ash admitted right last week he just goes for which team he thinks is going to win, regardless of the spread.
Yeah, right. I heard that. Next is the other shitty Odell shitty game of the week, which is the Arizona shitty Cardinals against the shitaculous Jets. The Jets at home are getting 6.5 points.
I'm taking the Cardinals all day.
Wow. Jets 0-4. They've got about a negative 65 point differential.
Yeah, I'm taking Arizona.
I don't see the Jets winning a game this year.
Yeah. The Jets are getting 6.5, though. I'm kind of tempted to take these points, though, just because Arizona's offense hasn't really scored a lot of points. And neither have the Jets, so I'm taking Arizona. All right. So that is your picks. Don't forget, everybody, send them in before the games kick off. There's no Thursday night games. There's no Monday night games. It's all Sunday games. And there's no COVID games. So you get your picks in. When I like them, I've recorded them. And make sure you hashtag pick'ems when you do at Dome Patrol PCAST. In the meantime, let's move forward into Saints Preview.
Got the Chargers. Like I said, you know, they looked decent against Tampa. However, Austin Eckler is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. So that's their start running back. You know, it makes me think for Brady to throw 5 touchdowns against them, their corners can't be that good, I'm assuming. He threw 5 touchdowns to 5 different receivers. So I kind of look maybe for Drew to spread the ball around again. You know, we'll see what with the status of Michael Thomas and all the other folks that are out, is going to be. But I think it might be a high-scoring game because I think San Diego can put some points up. They do have a rookie quarterback. Hopefully the D-line can get some pressure on them. You know, they looked pretty decent against Stafford. You know, there were, kind of like we said on the instant reaction, there were times where Stafford seemed to have all day to throw the ball, and then there were times where we were in his face. You know, we just need to get a more consistent pass rush, and I think we'll be okay.
All right, what about LaToya? Is she going to let fans come into the game?
Well, from what I have read, they petitioned the state and LaToya. They've been working with them behind the scenes. Saints seem to think that things are looking good in the positive. They did that dry run of 750 people for the last home game. Everything went well. The protocols that they had in place seemed to work. So hopefully, fingers crossed, they have fans. Be nice to have some fans in the dome. So hopefully she gets off her high horse and lets some people in.
All right.
Do you think that'll make a difference? Was it 25% capacity?
I think it could. I think that
on a Monday night,
really. Yeah, I mean, just having anybody in there. I think having anybody in there. I think if it doesn't, it might not do anything for crowd noise, but I think it would. It will pump the team up to see fans back in the stands again.
I think so. That's one thing this team does maybe more or better than other teams, and that's respond just with morale, right? Just with they play to the fans.
Yeah.
So. I think I'm in agreement. And then LA, you know, part of their identity is that, especially this year so far, is that they'll give you a fight, but they'll fuck it up at critical times. So usually when you see a team get that to go for it on fourth, somehow they score a touchdown on us. Maybe the ball doesn't bounce the Chargers' way this time.
Yeah. You know, their defense, I don't know the game before they played Tampa. Well, the first game that Herbert started where they punctured, Tyrod Taylor's
Chiefs.
Lung,
Chiefs their defense, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was the Chiefs. I was about to say, cause their defense was God awful that game. I mean, they couldn't stop anything.
It might have been the game after the Chiefs actually. Chiefs game was week two.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't stop anybody. So, you know, I think this might be one of the weaker defenses we might see this year. I would definitely emphasize, if Sean Payton, if you're listening and you can hear me, do not stop running the football. Please, for the love of God, do not stop running the football.
I think this Sunday was the blueprint moving forward. I really do.
He's got the talent. So. I mean, I thought that was the whole point of, you know, Breeze's older years was that you've got, because of that, you've got to balance it out with more running attack. And they built the team for it.
Yep. They paid Kamara the money, let him fucking play. And, you know, one thing I love about Kamara is he doesn't, and, you know, last year he was hurt. This year he's obviously like just, done a complete 180 and is looking so much better, but he doesn't take shots. You know, he will go out of bounds. You know, he'll get the first and dart out. He won't do it. And that's
unless he knows he can shake the tackles.
Right. You know, he knows when he can bounce stuff off or when he has to go out of bounds.
If he's near the goal line, he takes the hit. If he's near the sideline, he does that little stop and hop out, and you can tell that defenders get really frustrated because they're lining up for it.
Yeah.
It drives them nuts. Even they talked about that during the game.
Well, they've got to be careful not to make the tackle. You've really got to be careful not to commit to the tackle on Kamara near the touchline, because if he goes out of bounds and you hit him, it's an automatic 15 yards, isn't it?
Yeah. And can we please get Jonathan Vilma calling our games all the rest of the season? Because, I mean, he was great.
It's nice to have someone supporting us in the booth.
Yes, on national TV, not just, like, you know, the local broadcast.
Right.
So he was really good.
All right, score predictions?
I'm going to go 42-20. Saints.
38-24 Saints.
I'm going to go 41-33 Saints. I mean, you don't discount. The Chargers are not going to give this game to us. They do have the fourth-ranked offense in the league and the fourth-ranked passing offense, to be exact. So our defense against the pass, not the best track record. So they're going to score points.
So basically you're trying to send James to the hospital again is what you're saying.
Yes, that's what you're doing. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Especially at 3 and 4 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, right, which it will be for us again.
That, I apologize. So then maybe you'll give us your final thoughts.
Wow.
Let's start with James.
Yeah. It was a must-win game, and we won. We had to win this week. If we didn't win this week, then I don't know where this season was going to go. But we did win. There is one thing I just wanted to raise, actually, and I don't know whether anybody else saw this, and I put a post in the group about it before. There was an incident in the third quarter where the Lions got, I think it was a 6-yard run to the outside, and one of their players got busted for holding. But they didn't apply the penalty yards.
Oh yeah.
They were on first and 10, but they didn't get a first down.
Do you think that was just a TV mistake, maybe?
No, I thought so too, but I went back and looked at where the line of scrimmage was from the play that the holding call was on, and they put the ball in the exact same spot.
Sean Payton didn't even say anything about it.
There was no penalty yards given to it, was there? And it went back to first and 10.
It went back to first and 10.
From the same spot.
There was no penalty from the exact same spot. It was like the play just didn't happen.
And they didn't wave it off. It wasn't declined.
Well, there wasn't offsetting penalties. Yeah, it was holding. It wasn't offset.
But everybody in the whole building missed it, even the Saints.
I guess.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it didn't hurt us. But
so the refs are trying to find new ways to screw us over, but it didn't work this week. So, ha.
We overcame.
And there was another play that you're talking about where a defender took a cheap shot at Traquan.
Yeah.
And they didn't call it.
Yeah.
It should have been at least a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, kind of. You could make an argument that it was defenseless receiver, even though the ball didn't go to him.
Right, because he wasn't looking.
But he blindsided hit him, sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, in the first drive, the Lions' opening drive, on one of their big plays, their receiver held, I don't know which of our defenders it was, but you could see him holding him back as he's chasing the guy. And it was literally in the center of the field and nobody said anything about it. Nobody saw it. I said, so that's where I texted y'all. I'm like, oh, okay, so they're allowed to hold now on running plays or something?
Typical refs.
Yeah. So, yeah, I went off on a bit of a ref rant there. But, yeah, that was just something that – it was just weird that nobody kind of seemed to pick up on the fact that the penalty was given.
We're so used to it.
They just let them have first and 10 from the same place. So,
anyways. Well, and did somebody bring it up last week's show? Like Emmanuel Sanders had a quote about, or y'all texted it or something. Like, yeah, Emmanuel Sanders is even saying, like, I have never seen something like this before.
Ooh, ouch, man, please let go of that tight grip you have on my butt.
All right, Scott, final thoughts.
Kind of just echo what James said. We got the win. You know, let's use that momentum. We're 500. Let's get above 500 next week. And just keep running the ball. Keep Taysom Hill out of being quarterback.
Wow.
Let the defense play well. I know you never thought you'd hear me say that. And let's go out and get the W.
That's how I know you're not partisan.
There you go.
All right. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, and Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. Follow the Dome Patrol Podcast on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. Follow BS and Beer Saints Podcast at BS and Beer. Follow Taking the Over with Billy Gunn at Taking the Over. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye. Green screen, donkeys. I don't know.
Green screen.
Let me do that again.
Yeah, we can't edit.
Yeah. What can I say?
Bye-bye losing.
Okay, I got it. Bye-bye being below 500 donkeys. Good night, Houdat Nation.